morning. Welcome to Worcester Academically Speaking, a weekly program that features faculty of the Colleges of Worcester Consortium who share with us their research, teaching, and public service interests. I'm Jim Hannon, your host. My guest this morning, Sarah Bowie, director of the Higgins School of Humanities and a professor of studio art at Clark University, and Walter Wright, professor and chair of the philosophy department, also at Clark. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
I'm really excited to have you here because you're coming with news of a really important project that's underway as we speak at Clark University, supported by the Ford Foundation. Sarah, you're the lead on this project. Tell us about this dialogue program that you have in place.
Okay, Jim. We were very fortunate to receive one of 27 grants that the Ford Foundation gave for their Difficult Dialogues initiative. They put out the call for this initiative in April of 2005, and when I saw it come across the screen on the computer, I was just immediately drawn to it as a project that felt very compelling to me for the university. And at the same time, my colleague William Fisher over in the International Development Program was also very interested in it. And the two of us got together and got a group together to collaborate on developing a proposal for it.
$100,000 grant, right?
Yes, from $100,000 grant.
And 27 institutions received these grants out of how many applications? I would assume there'd be an awful lot from colleges and universities around the country.
Well, we had no idea how many people were applying for the grant, but it turned out that there were over 700 colleges and universities who sought one of these grants.
And, wow, so like 4% actually received grants, and you were among them. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Probably a good thing you didn't know how many were applying. Huh?
Yeah, I think so. We would have been more intimidated about it, certainly.
So Difficult Dialogues, the subheading for the Ford Foundation Request for Proposals is Promoting Pluralism and Academic Freedom on Campus. I know this has been a really controversial issue in some places. Academic freedom on campus, what does it mean? How do people feel free to express their ideas? What is the limit of what professors even can say? And there's a long history, of course, in America protecting academic freedom of faculty. But I think in recent years, there's even been more of a discussion about what is the freedom of students to disagree? What are the limits of discourse? And what have your thoughts and your experiences been, either Sarah or Walter, about what kind of discourse has been available at Clark and other universities, and how you hope that this process might improve that?
Ford Foundation made this grant available because they had been approached by a group of college presidents, Columbia University, and what were some of the other ones?
Dartmouth.
And these presidents were concerned because they had been experiencing concrete incidences on their campuses that involved repression of freedom of speech and very, very, very complex and controversial questions arising. And it was their perception that this was quite a general issue in higher education, and they wanted to the Ford Foundation to come in and do something. And so Ford created this grant opportunity as a response to that request. I would say in the Clark context that when the group of us who started working on developing this proposal began to meet, we talked to our students and we talked to each other and we said, what are the topics at Clark that are not being discussed? And we found that that there were many instances that we hadn't been aware of our students not talking to each other or not talking in class because they simply didn't feel they had the space to do it. And we thought that this culture of silence at the university was something important and that we could address that with the help of this grant.
One of the things I should mention, Jim, is that when the call came out, there were several different versions of their proposal that were published. And I think the academic freedom aspect of it was part of it. But part of it was that they could see that that there were problems with universities having discourse across difference in sort of broadly interpreted, and that there were many different places where there'd been ruptures around racial issues or religious issues.
Right. I think that's important to step back for a second, because this Difficult Dialogues project may be $3 million worth of a $12 million overall effort by the Ford Foundation, which is built as a response to anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, mm-hmm. and other forms of bigotry in the United States and Europe. I think this must be the larger context
that's right.
In which the Ford Foundation is trying to respond. Right. Seems pretty important in 2006 in terms of, you know, these issues in the U.S. and elsewhere around the world, really.
Yeah. No, it's obviously it's fundamental. We did interpret the proposal a little differently than a lot of the of our peer institutions, both in the proposals and in the ones that were funded. We were one, I think, of a handful of institutions that really talked about how there was this condition of silence, or shall we say avoidance, that was more prevalent rather than the actual conflict itself.
The content, for example, of religious difference, which seems to be emphasized in a lot of the other institutions that got these grants, they focused a lot on religious differences.
Right, exactly. I mean, we knew that there were many differences existing in our community. There are. But we felt that gradually over time we had, as a community, stopped being very good at exploring those differences with each other openly and with a sense of trust in our ability to have dialogue around those differences. And as a community, we do espouse the notion of ourselves as a place that can take up difficulty. I think that's been sort of part of our motto. If you know, look at the mm-hmm. at the way Clark thinks about itself, and yet we were finding that a lot of our colleagues and our students didn't feel safe in exploring difference in the classroom or even with each other privately.
So, how did you go about developing a program that's a little bit different from some of the other grantee institutions?
Well, you know, one of the things I felt strongly about right from the beginning was that the only way a good program in developing a culture of dialogue on campus was going to happen was that it be based on dialogue right along as we made the program happen. So we've actually tried to have a process of dialogue in the conception of the project. And we started with a group of 10 faculty members when we developed our larger program, which was eventually funded, the larger proposal. There were actually 16 faculty members in the brainstorming process mm-hmm. of that. And as we've worked, the group that has continued to work on the project has grown very organically. The whole process has been one that has grown through conversation, I would
uh-huh.
say.
Sure.
People have been pulled into it by interests. We've had small lunches where we've talked about what the possibilities were for dialogue in our pedagogy, what they were for us as a campus. And people have gotten involved based on their own true loves, shall we say, the things that they care the most about in their teaching.
What do you mean by their true loves? What kind of things do you mean?
Well, for example, both of the faculty in theater are involved in our project, and both of them have ways in which they've used dialogue as a teaching method all along in teaching acting and teaching directing. But they think of it as very much a part of their own process. But they came to this project with those skills and those attitudes and were very interested in the other possibilities for it that would have more implication for us as a community.
Well, dialogue is a very friendly sounding word. Wouldn't you agree? Dialogue sounds nice. But what does that really mean in terms of, you know, difficult dialogues? What is dialogue instead of, you know, conversation or discourse? One of the favorite words of academics over the last 20 years is discourse. But dialogue must mean something in particular that both Ford is looking for and that you are trying to implement. Well, maybe you can describe dialogue as a whatever these theater professors were talking about, whatever it means to you in terms of a form of engagement.
One thing that we discovered as we worked along is that there is a whole set of people who are taking dialogue as an approach, as a methodology. There's a national organization. There are people in the helping professions. There are people in universities who are talking about this notion of dialogue. It's rooted in the work of people like the physicist David Bohm, who not only worked on quantum mechanics, but also toward the end of his life became very interested in notions of dialogue and exchange as a way of opening up subjects and finding meaning in conversation. So it's dialogue is defined in many different ways, but fundamentally the way that dialogue professionals understand it, dialogue is one particular kind of discourse. It's not discussion. It's not debate. It's not pronouncement. But it is a it is an exchange, which aims at the opening up of meaning and the discovery of meaning between people. It typically doesn't try to resolve a problem. It doesn't involve trying to convince someone of a point of view. But it is about listening. It's about hearing the point of view of the other, and it is about opening up to new possibilities.
So that's interesting. Not discussion, not debate. So how does that – what is it about the process of dialogue? Bring it down to the brass tacks for us, if you could. What does dialogue in a classroom, for example, look like? And I know that your work may not be just in classroom, but how is that different from discussion – just from discussion?
Yeah. One of the things about the word discussion is that it actually has some of the same roots as words like percussion. It has to do with breaking or sort of knocking things, breaking them into their parts. Whereas dialogue is really a flow through. It's a process it's a time of being in a space in between meanings or a bigger space that's opened up when you explore your differences. It's a very creative kind of process, but it usually requires some consciousness. It requires establishing some intentions. And I think that's one of the things we're trying to work on as we, as a faculty, come to learn something about this. I mean, we're all beginners. We're all just exploring what that actually means.
So the intentions, I mean, dialogue, speaking of two people speaking is the meaning, right, of dialogue? The
well,
roots? No? Maybe not. Dialogus? What is that? I'm not sure.
The logos is the word or meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And the dia is actually not to-ness, but it's through-ness.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay,
so
good.
It's through meaning, through
Thank
the
you.
Flow of meaning.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say the intention, back to intention. What is the intention of a dialogue versus the intention of a discussion? Walter mentioned something about that it's not directed towards necessarily a resolution of the issue. But, I mean, can you
right.
say more about that, Sarah?
Right. Well, I would say that if there is an intention, it is to explore together, to actually, in a way, almost play. I actually think there's an erotic quality to dialogue.
Good
which
grief.
I know. Yeah,
okay.
No,
All right, I'm off of that.
I think
yeah.
that's just a wonderful part of it, that it's about this sort of exchange of energy back and forth and
uh-huh.
seeing where it goes, you know, letting it unfold.
So it's pretty open-ended.
Yeah, very open-ended.
And so and maybe so the intention is to be, you're both wearing buttons that say, I'm listening.
Yes, we are.
And that seems to be sort of the logo of your Difficult Dialogues program. I'm listening.
Well, this comes from
a
day.
You can go on to www.clark.edu/difficult-dialogues and
That's
learn
right.
more about this program.
That's exactly right.
But I mean, so the intention seems to be that the medium is more the process is more important than the product. Is that
That's
fair?
That's very true. That you focus on the being present for the process of dialogue and thinking, you know, being conscious of what's happening and participating in a way that is conscious.
Mutual understanding, learning to understand the other person's point of view and where they're coming from is one of the intentions, and the other is to be open to new possibilities.
Right.
Yes, to be
right.
open to new understandings, not just
new
to the
ideas.
Other person.
Here's something
new
ideas. Is one of the things we say
well,
when we talk about
it. There are many ways. You've really piqued my curiosity about a number of things here, and I'm thinking about how an abortion dialogue might unfold. And that seems to be one of the issues that has so divided this country, and where I think a lot of people have said that people have gotten so polarized that they can't hear each other anymore. And this may be one of the topics around which a dialogue is particularly important.
Well, you know, Jim, we just last week had this amazing experience with women on both sides of the abortion issue. Who are from Boston, who've been in a dialogue with each other for over 10 years, facilitated by the Public Conversations Project, who also worked with our faculty this fall in developing skills of dialogue. And they have sustained this dialogue fully, continuing to fully differ with each other. They do not agree with each other, but these women are deeply respectful for each other and hold that difference in the space of dialogue.
They, for example, agreed to avoid certain hot button words and terms that were problematic for the other people in the debate, so that they simply would not describe their own position in certain ways, wouldn't describe the other position in certain ways, to create an environment.
Give me an example, Walter, please. What's an example? What were the words that were eschewed by the participants or the labels?
Well, for example, you wouldn't, for example, call people who favored the right of women to make choices in their lives. You wouldn't talk about them as baby killers. You wouldn't talk about them as pro-abortion.
Yeah.
You might speak about
Well, this is a classic example, isn't it, of the polarization. I mean, who doesn't want to be pro-life? I mean, it was a marketing technique, and so was pro-choice. I mean, these are all positive terms. I'm pro-choice or I'm pro-life. But that's still okay in the terms of the dialogue? You just want to avoid the negative characterizations
The real issue was for each group to say, what is the language that you use that's a problem for us? Mm-hmm. And then for the other group to say, we will agree to avoid that language, and you will agree reciprocally to avoid things that are problematic.
So this may seem like this is really important to me, because when we have fundamental differences as a society, how do we maintain any kind of comity in discourse, but also stay together as a society without completely fracturing?
Well,
I mean, sometimes people think that it's too far. The United States is not going to go the way of the Balkans. But on the other hand, when you have fundamental differences, to stay together as a nation, I guess you have to be able to talk about these issues without polarizing further.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, that's, of course, why we're trying to, in the university setting, encourage this kind of thinking and these kinds of skills among our students. Because we think, although we're just learning all the ways that might be true, that these kinds of skills will help us address the kind of polarization that we're experiencing as a society.
Well, tell us more, if you would, about what the program at Clark is going to be. You have got this funding now from the Ford Foundation. What are the different layers of this program, of the difficult dialogues program that's going to be in place at Clark?
Right. Well, we did set out right from the beginning to involve the entire community, and that means the faculty, the students, and the staff. We started with the faculty because we knew that they were, in some ways, the place from which there would be the most powerful waves. And, of course, we are the ones that are charged with creating educational environments for the students. And so we did a series of faculty development sessions with two wonderful groups of consultants this fall. That was the first piece. We then, alongside of that, have been working with what's become quite a large, wonderful group of faculty working as a steering committee. There are now almost 60 people on that group. We developed a process, again, very much a dialogue, of figuring out what it was that we were going to make happen over the course of the next 18 months. And that included a series of launch events this fall, which was our first set of programs. And that was all intended to encourage an understanding of what dialogue can be, what its potential is. Alongside of that, we've been working with the staff and creating some workshops for them as well.
Staff includes what kind of people?
That includes people that are doing our public affairs, people that are running the Office of Intercultural Affairs, people working in our Dean of Students office, our Human Resources office, anyone, actually, all over all over the university. In addition to the faculty development process and the beginning to do programming, we've also got in place some support for faculty who are interested in developing new courses, and that will a period of granting will come in the winter for summer support. We have.
So they're going to be getting stipends. Faculty will get stipends to work over
the summer. To develop new courses that have an emphasis in dialogue.
Yeah, and this grant also has paid for a staff person to work with you, right?
Yes,
to help coordinate
that's right. I have a part-time staff person who's doing a huge amount of work with me. We also have graduate students who are receiving fellowships as part of our program. So right now we have six of those.
You have some symposia also. I'm a little time-conscious here, but you have some symposia that are going to be run over the course of the next, starting when? In January?
We have starting in February, actually. And during the entire calendar year, 2007, we will have four different symposia.
What topical areas are these going to be in?
Yeah, those four areas are the state of our democracy, race and ethnicity, religion and religious intolerance, and the last one is power.
Yow.
Yeah.
Talk about a can of worms, but four cans of worms. So, and these symposia are going to feature, they're going to be, what we've talked about a little prior to the show is maybe as many as eight different events in the course of a month to which
that's
the public
right.
will be invited.
The public is invited and encouraged to come. And there will be major speakers. There will be plenary sessions. There will be arts events. Mm. There will be films shown
with discussion groups afterwards. Yeah, chances for people to be part of this dialogue.
Absolutely.
So this is a great thing for Clark and for Worcester. And why don't we close with telling us what's upcoming in the next couple of weeks that people could attend?
Yes. On Monday, November 6th, we have two workshops. One of them is at 12:30, and it's oriented toward communicating with health, with people who have health issues abroad, and basically international development work using dialogue.
Where is that going to be?
That will be in Dana Commons at Clark at 12:30. And at 4 o'clock, there'll be a special session on David Bohm, the physicist, and his work on dialogue. Then the next night, the film Promises, and a discussion afterwards, a film about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Oh, that's great. If you want more information, there's a lot of great stuff going to be happening here about this. www.clark.edu/difficult-dialogues. Sarah Bowie, Walter Wright, congratulations on this grant. Thanks for encouraging us to learn how to speak with each other. And thanks for being here. We're going to be back next week. We're going to follow up on this topic with thinking about and having some examples of dialogues on these difficult topics and how they're going to work in classroom and in the larger community. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jim Hannon. This has been Worcester Academically Speaking. Until next week, goodbye, everybody.